This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. March Madness coming up this week. I bet if you fill out an NCAA tournament bracket, you will not give much thought to the 14, 15, and 16 seeds or to the little-known conferences from which they come. This is a story about a guy who cared a lot about one of those small conferences, the America East. Only a Game's Martin Kessler has this story.
I was a really nervous kid.
Sam Perkins is now 32. He's a friendly guy who's known for occasionally telling long stories. But back when he was young,
I had a lot of anxiety around bad things happening to my parents, but especially my dad, which is crazy. I used to want to go with him to the store because I thought I'd protect him. I was this really little kid, and my dad was this massive human being. So I don't know what I thought I was going to do. And I would always ask my dad for reassurances, like, you're always going to be here. And he wasn't going to raise me like that. He said, no, there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be around anymore. You know, that's just how it is. But I'll always be with you. And I really didn't realize what that meant at the time.
Sam's father, Jack, played college basketball at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst during the 60s. He was a 6'6" forward. Sam didn't inherit his father's height, but he did develop a love for basketball. When Sam and his younger brother were little, Jack would drive them 2 hours from Boston to Amherst to catch UMass games. Back in the 90s, when John Calipari was coach, UMass was one of the best teams in the country. Sam's dad also introduced Sam and his brother to a much lower level of college basketball. The America East Conference is Division I, but it's a far cry from big-time leagues like the Big East or ACC. In 2002, when Sam was 17, Jack bought tickets to the America East Conference tournament. It was being held that year at Northeastern's Matthews Arena in Boston.
And I remember that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it was unseasonably warm. It was 60 degrees the first weekend in March. It was raining. You walk into the lobby at Matthews, and it feels like going to a venue from the 1920s. And then you step into the arena, and the walls are gray. You've got the beams coming down, and the iron girders, and the pillars, and the rafters, and the roof, the wooden roof. You could hear the sound of rain, rat-a-tat-tatting off it, and Matthews was leaking. There was water running everywhere in there. It so added to the atmosphere of, desperation that these kids had of trying to get to the big dance, and only one team is making it through. Only one team. And you know they're going to be a low seed, and they're going to get blown out. But there was just amazing basketball and amazing storylines, and I fell in love with it.
Sam can still remember watching the Hartford Hawks and the Stony Brook Sea Wolves and the Maine Black Bears with his dad.
He was a guy who just sat back and took it all in and would talk to me during the games and about players that he respected or things that were going on the court. I feel like at that tournament, I was able to stop and take in the moment a little bit. I'm glad I did, because it was one of the last things that I ever got to do with my dad, that tournament and then the following year's tournament. And then he was riding his bike in from so he worked at the USDOT, and November 17th, 2003, he was riding his bike into work. He got hit by a van. That was going pretty fast, and he suffered a traumatic brain injury. He had a heavy bleeding in the brain. He shouldn't have survived, but he survived for another month and a half. He passed away on January 4th.
When his father died, Sam was 19 years old.
Didn't know what to do. I had been a good baseball player, And after my dad died, baseball, I hated it because I never noticed his absence more than when I was playing baseball. But during that time, I kept going to the America East games, and that was where I felt the closest to him. I would think about what he would be saying during these games or what he would be doing. I'd look over my shoulder and he wouldn't be there, but I could imagine these conversations with him that we'd be having, and just something about that felt like I was close to him.
Sam went to UMass Boston, a Division III school, but he kept attending America East games. He followed the conference in 2004, and then again in 2005, and again in 2006. In 2007, he graduated.
I didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. I had a degree in English, you know, from undergrad. What am I going to do with that? I don't know. But I kept going to these games, so I started writing, and I started badgering people, publications, online sites, like, hey, can I write about the America East? You don't even pay me anything.
Editors started taking Sam up on his offer. For the next couple of years, Sam traveled to games that no one else wanted to cover. Sometimes Sam's friends would go with him. They'd all pile into a hotel room and then go to games.
I'd be with my press pass covering it on Press Row, and they'd be heckling me from the seats and just insulting me, and it was really great.
Sam found he liked writing about basketball, but he really loved writing feature stories about these America East players.
It's different at the America East level. I don't mean to sound corny, but it is. It is different than big-time college basketball. These are not kids that are going to be famous. And I started thinking, like, these kids that leave everything and give everything, and it means so much to all their careers kind of amount to is being echoes in an empty arena. Well, maybe I could do something about that, and I could change that, and I could write about them, and then there would be something out there that said, like, hey, these people, they existed, and this is what they did.
So in 2010, Sam and his friend Matt Whitrock decided to create their own website. It would be called One Bid Wonders, and it would be devoted to covering America East basketball games and telling stories about players from the conference. At first, Sam says the site's only reader was his own mom. But then the website gained a following.
Then viewership started growing, and I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I could become the next, I don't know, Bob Ryan, or the next, maybe I could become the next John Feinstein or something that I love writing about college ball.
Sam went to grad school to get a journalism degree and worked odd jobs to make money. But he kept pouring time into the website. And eventually, Sam did get opportunities to become a full-time sports writer.
But becoming a sports writer would have meant leaving the America East behind. And I realized that's not what I wanted to do, that the America East was why I was writing. That's what I loved writing about.
So after grad school, Sam took a full-time job as the editor of a small-town paper, and he stayed focused on getting more readers for his website, One Bid Wonders. And Sam gave writing opportunities to young kids who also wanted to write about low-profile college basketball conferences in the Northeast.
We picked up a kid named Doric Sam, who was a student at Stony Brook, and he started covering Long Island stuff for us. And then we added a young kid who grew up in the same city as me, was a lot younger than me, named Martin Kessler. You know, maybe that rings a bell.
Yep, that's me. After I graduated from college in 2013, Sam let me write for One Bid Wonders. I remember talking to Sam at games and hearing about his crazy travel plans.
I was going to 3, 4, 5 games a week, you know, all over the place. Not just in this area, man. Like, I was putting miles on my car.
So I just want to, like, you would be working a day job, but then you would still drive from, like, Boston to...
to Burlington or Orono or Vestal, New York or Long Island, yeah.
And then come back.
And then come back and work the next morning, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy, going on, like, 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
Sam says he wore out 5 cars traveling to games. At the time, it seemed to me like Sam just loved what he was doing, and everyone seemed to love Sam. During the 2013-14 season, Sam put up a donation page on the One Bid Wonders website so that readers could support his travel costs. $5,000 came in. In that next summer, Sam met 2 business guys at a wedding and started talking to them about investing in the website. Then in October 2014, I got an email from Sam. The subject line, "We are funded." I printed an email that she sent me.
Oh, God.
I'm hoping you could read it.
So, hey, Martin. OBW is going to be officially funded. Just had 2 investors buy in as partners with me, enough to fund the site completely for all this season so that I can quit my job and do it full time. Really exciting stuff.
Now, Sam could focus entirely on running One Bid Wonders.
I got pretty emotional to think that some other people believed in my crazy idea, and that was a really amazing feeling. To feel like, hey, this hasn't been for nothing.
Then the season began.
I was writing every single day like a maniac, and I didn't feel the same anymore. And I was just living in libraries and coffee shops, just churning stuff out, writing, you know, 35 features in the month of January and not sleeping. And I was just like, this isn't fun.
Sam's hair started falling out, something that hadn't happened to him since his father's death.
And then every game I would go to, I didn't feel my dad's presence as much anymore. I realized that I had been chasing my dad's ghost through these arenas and gyms and along these back roads and these, you know, nowhere towns for, you know, 12 years, 13 years, and I just was never going to catch him. And I kind of needed to move on.
After that season, Sam decided to shut down One Bid Wonders.
I wondered for a little bit, did I make a difference to anyone? Was it worthwhile? What was the point? Did I just waste this amount of my time?
But soon he learned he had made a difference. Sam started getting texts and calls from former players and coaches and fans saying how much the website had meant to them. Now Sam works as a special ed teacher with elementary and middle school students. He doesn't watch much college basketball anymore.
And I'm really happy with what I'm doing now, but I wouldn't be where I'm at if I had not covered the league the way that I did.
And now, Sam is a dad. 7 months ago, he and his wife had a son. He's named Jack, after Sam's dad. And since Sam doesn't go to many basketball games now, he's found a new time when he feels his dad's presence.
When I'm with my son, yeah. I think about my earliest memories are around him. You know, he would take me for walks in the carrier and just talk to me about stuff. I feel my dad when I'm with my son. It's really powerful. I don't know how else to describe it other than that. More than anything, I hope that I can duplicate just a little bit of the experiences my dad gave to me and the connections he gave to me through something with my son. You know, if I can be, you know, 1/10 of the dad that my dad was, I'll be real happy and I'll have done a good job.
That's Sam Perkins speaking with Only a Game's Martin Kessler.